Well, at this point in the service, church, we have the privilege of going even deeper into God's Word together. And as we do so, even here on this Christmas Eve, we are still continuing our series that we've been in as a church, that we've been tracing the theme of God's presence. As you've heard in the scripture readings this morning, this evening, we've been tracing that theme both theologically, but also talking about it existentially, meaning what God's presence and how you and I were designed to be near to God, what that has to do with our purpose and existence and why we're even here. We're tracing that all the way from the Garden of Eden through the Old Testament temple to Christmas and unto forever. And as a quick summary of everything we've seen so far as a church, whether you've been here at ECC or you're newer here this evening, what we've seen from God's Word is that, again, you and I, as humanity, we were designed by God to be near to God. And that's not just words, but we were created to have a genuine relationship with God and to be near to Him and then to spread His goodness and creativity into His world. That's who we all are. Deep in our bones. But then we rebelled, and we still do, which ruptured that relationship and nearness to God. And still today, that rupture is the ultimate source of all pain and sorrow and brokenness in our world. But then in the storyline of the Bible and in history, it's then God, though, who is determined to undo that rupture, to come nearer and nearer. And He did so in a big way, first, actually, in the Old Testament tabernacle and temple. And it's true that we as modern people usually don't give a lot of credence to that, but that was God Himself drawing nearer in history. And, though, that was also God showing that due to our difference and our darkness now, there had to be divisions between God and His people, kind of like an oil and water situation. So God did that for a specific time in the Old Testament. And then, though, as time went on, as we saw this past Sunday as a church, those people, though, to whom God had driven or gone nearer to, they continued to rebel, even with God there in the temple. And that led first to them being kicked out of their land, but even more significant, it led to God leaving them. But then, as we close this past Sunday, we all need to know that actually the Old Testament ends basically with God saying that He'd come back one day, though, but in a much bigger, comprehensive way for His people and also for the world. All right, so that's just history from the garden to the tabernacle and temple. And that's how the Old Testament ended, with sin, but God saying that He'd come even closer. And friends, He did so. At Christmas, right? That's what we've been talking about. That's what that poem, the beautiful poem we heard, was about. Because truly, we need to know, in Jesus, God is Emmanuel. He's with us. And that's profound, both theologically, but also existentially for everyone in this room. Because that means that Jesus is truly the way that we get back to being what we were made for. And actually, come back this upcoming Sunday if you're curious more about that. Because on Sunday, we're going to talk a lot more about how Jesus, as God, is in history the awaited for, longed for fulfillment of your and I designed to be near to God. All right, so that's what we've been talking about for weeks. But that, this evening now, that brings us, for a shorter time here in God's Word, though, to actually spend a little bit of time together concluding this biblical theme of God drawing near in the temple, in a physical temple. Because, stick with me, this whole story arc of God being a temple, in a temple, is actually a massive theme if you read the Bible. Plus, think of this, this is actually just a big idea in human history as a whole, as so many cultures from all over the world have felt this desire to be near God, but also kind of distant from their God. And we see that how, I don't know if you ever considered this, but basically in so many religions all over the world, they've had temples. And so this Christmas Eve, as we think about Jesus and why He came, I think it'll be helpful to think about that, about how Jesus' coming, church, changed how God no longer chose to dwell in the physical structure of a temple. And to do that, we're now actually, as you just heard from Judy, we're going to dive into a passage that is primarily about Jesus' death. And let me say as we start, I know that may sound weird to most of us here on Christmas Eve because we are so used to just talking about Jesus' birth on Christmas. But perhaps a helpful way to think about this is that, well, the truth is, church, Jesus came, as we know, not just to be born, right? But his coming and his being born is significant because of what he accomplished as a person. And the truth is, one of those main things he accomplished has a lot to do with God's presence in that physical temple. And so this evening from Mark 15, that's what we're going to be talking about briefly. We're going to fast forward on this Christmas Eve to Jesus' final breaths on that cross. And we're going to see a big reason he was even born in the first place and how it connects to us still today. Okay, so that just sets us up, but now let's get into it. And so we're going to be in only three verses here in Mark 15, the three verses you just heard read. And as for our outline from here on out, just very simply, if this helps you, what we're going to do now is we're going to first just reread those verses and quickly talk about what's going on here so we're on the same page. But then for most of our time, we're going to ask three questions specifically about the temple curtain being torn. You just heard that happened. Three questions about that. And as for what those questions will be, we'll just reveal it as we go. But just know, church, that the temple being torn, temple curtain being torn in history is a big deal. And it still matters for us. And it reveals a lot about Christmas and why Jesus even came. All right, so that's where we're going. The verses, and then three questions about the temple, and then we'll end our service singing and lighting our candles. But that said, let's just first quickly go through these verses you heard read again. And so look down. We're just going to go verse by verse. Please hopefully have your Bible open, starting again in that short verse 37. Imagine this happening. Verse 37, "And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last." All right, we'll stop there, and let's just be on the same page. That verse sets the stage for what's going on here, lets us understand, and really there's just two basic things there, right? First, Jesus uttered a loud cry, and we all need to know that is because in history he had been hanging on the cross for over 6 hours. All right, so this is a cry of utter pain, and then second, that leads to him, quote, breathing his last. And that really matters because here's the point. Jesus actually came at Christmas, and then fast forward, Jesus actually did die. And I know we all know that, but we need to feel he didn't come to just live and suffer, but he fully died. Yes, to rise again, but he fully died, breathed his last. So imagine Jesus is dead at this point in history now. And then, though, this happens in verse 38. Look at verse 38. "And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Okay, so that's the verse we're going to focus on a ton in a minute. But for now, just see it. Jesus dies, and then the next verse is about this curtain temple tearing, which is interesting. And just so you know, that happening is no small thing because the temple curtain was about 3 to 4 inches thick. And so no single human being could just go up to it and rip it like a piece of paper. Rather, this is a huge, thick, woven curtain that very purposefully separated the holy place from the most holy place where God dwelt. Jesus dies, and the first thing we're told is that curtain tears from top to bottom, which then leads to this in verse 39. Look at verse 39. "And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" All right, so there's a ton we could talk about from that, but for this evening, I just wanted us to all see that once Jesus dies, the curtain temple tears, and then a centurion, meaning a usually hated Roman soldier, someone almost all of Mark's readers would have thought was too terrible and too far from God, he confesses that surely this man was the Son of God. It's incredible, and that alone shows us the beauty of the gospel and why Jesus came. Okay, so that's these verses. But now let's ask specifically our three questions about the temple being curtain being torn here. Three questions on that. And here's where we start to see, church, a massive reason why Jesus came at Christmas. So three questions on this, and then we'll be done. Our first question is simply asking, why did it happen? Like, why did the temple curtain tearing happen at all? And for this, stick with me. Here's what's interesting. So for a lot of us, we probably know it's symbolic of something, and it is. And we could probably answer what it represents to some degree, but we might think about it slightly incorrectly. And that matters. And I say that because, honestly, from firsthand experience, until very recently, I kind of myself assumed I understood all this, but then I was reading something about this, and I realized I was thinking about it actually backwards. Because let's think about it now. So most obviously, as for this, what this temple curtain was, it was there because, again, this curtain was referring to this thick temple that separated the holy place from the most holy place, where God actually was said to be above the Ark of the Covenant. And so this temple being torn meant that the divider separating us from God's presence was open. And that's true. But church, here's then where we can then get this a little backwards. Because we may know that, and then usually comes the thought, so Jesus opened up the veil so that we can now go into God. And yet here on Christmas Eve, we need to know that that's not really it. It's not. God is still in a temple, and you and I can now go in there because there's no curtain. Rather, it's actually the temple curtain is torn because God is now coming out. That's the point. It's not that we go in, it's that God has now symbolically come out of the temple. He's decided to show the world that he's no longer in a physical temple. And I know that distinction might sound slight, but in a way, that distinction kind of illustrates the difference between more typical religion and the true gospel of Jesus from the Bible. Because typical religion is, God's way is now open, but you know, you must go and do all this and that, all this religious stuff, like temple ordinances to go to him. It's kind of like God is waiting for us to come to him if we do all the right religious things we can enter in. That's typical religion. And if you're curious, just so you know, that's typical mysticism as well. You know, we can climb our way up the spiritual mountain to get to God who's kind of waiting there for us. But the true gospel of Jesus is God is real. He's done what's needed to be done for broken people now to know him. And he's now not in a physical temple. Instead, he's come out. And he's encountered now, not in a specific place, but in knowing and trusting Jesus. Full stop. Or to say that even simpler, the gospel is the curtain of the Old Testament temple has been torn, not so we can go into the temple, but so that God can come out, and God is now on the move, if you will, in the gospel of Jesus. And he's meeting people in that gospel from all over the world, and he's been doing so for 2,000 years. On this Christmas Eve, let's realize Jesus came and lived and died so that that could happen. All right, so that's just our first question. What's next? Now for question number two, this builds on that, and now we'll ask about a small detail in there that you might have noticed. And as for the detail, this is now asking the question, did you notice why, though, is the curtain temple torn, quote, from top to bottom? Did you notice that? Why is that added there? Because again, look at verse 38. It says, and the curtain temple, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Why is that added? Or to say it another way, would it have mattered if the curtain was torn from bottom to top? And well, yes, because here's what's cool and what builds on question number one, church. So first, God has come out. But now second, that detail of it being torn from the top to the bottom at Jesus' death and coming out, that matters because that now shows us, and it's God who did the tearing. You get that? And now, on the one hand, that's obvious. We already talked about this. No human being could just rip this curtain. It was too thick. But the top to bottom detail at Jesus' death shows that this is God's initiative. This is God doing this, meaning the same God who made the universe, who made you and me, and the God who in the Old Testament had all of these symbols of his presence in the Old Testament temple and all those sacrifices and all those priests. The point is, God intentionally put an end to all of that as the way to access him, as the way to be near him. Instead, there's a new and a better way. And it's not the way of sacrifices. Again, that's finished in Jesus. Nor is it the way of doing all of this stuff. Nor is it going to priests to get to God, which just as a side note, that is why it's a pretty important biblical distinction that leaders in the New Testament in the church are never said to be priests in the Bible, rather pastors, because the idea of going to a priest to get to God is done with. Nor is it just about being a good person. Rather, God tore the temple curtain from top to bottom to definitively show that that's all done. And he's now found in the good news of Jesus. All right, so if you're tracking thus far, God has come out. When he did so, he wanted to be clear that he was the one doing it. But there's still one more question to ask, church. And this is perhaps the most important question that brings all of this together, especially on Christmas. And so God comes out, it's his doing. But the third question is, but why did this happen at Jesus' death? Why has happened to Jesus' death? And really think what this is being, because this is quite interesting. I'd never thought about this before, but it really matters because, okay, so the storyline of the Bible is we were made to be near to God and God drew near in the temple, but that wasn't enough. But then he came in Emmanuel, right? That's the story of the Bible. So therefore, we'd probably assume, think of this, we'd assume that the temple curtain should be torn as soon as Jesus comes, right? As soon as Mary gives birth to Jesus, you would think the temple curtain is torn then. And yet, God doesn't tear the temple curtain until Jesus' death on purpose. So why? And here's where this comes together and connects to Christmas. Because ultimately, why did Jesus come? Why did God come amongst us? Well, not just to be a nice religious example, nor just to be revered. Rather, God came in Jesus to bring us back to himself, right? To allow broken people who don't deserve it to finally be nearer to him again by grace alone as we were created to be. But remember this, the thing that separates us from God in the Bible is our darkness and our sin. It's not God's fault, but it's ours. And so think of this. We can say all day during Christmas time, as we do, God has drawn near in Jesus. And he did. And God has drawn near. And yet, if you and I don't have our darkness problem dealt with, our sin, it'll always be an oil and water situation with us and God, where we can't relationally actually be that close to him, even if he's walking amongst us. And yet, and here's the big point this evening from Mark here, and yet, when Jesus came, he came not only as Emmanuel, God with us, and he not only lived the perfect life he couldn't live, and he not only taught wonderfully, did miracles, loved the people that other people didn't love, but then Jesus lived to eventually die as the final, complete, and needed sin bearer. I ought to say that even more simply, Jesus died as the way to deal with the real sins of sinners, the specific sins of people like you and me. And full circle, think of this, that being done, that it is finished, as Jesus said from the cross, being finished, that's why God could come out. You get that? It's beautiful. It's all because God can truly now be near to anyone, and I mean anyone, who has embraced his son, because if they have, that means their sin, each and every specific sin, has truly been dealt with. Meaning, one last time for all of us in here, we need to know on Christmas Eve that Jesus came not to just show us love in general, nor to just show us good morality. It's not about being a good person or just about following all the right rules, nor is it about being in the right place physically to be closer to God. Whether you're talking about a church building, a temple, or going to a holy person like a priest. Rather, it's about knowing this Jesus. It's about truly embracing him and having a relationship with him. And yes, a real relationship with Jesus, when you have it, it changes you. It makes you want to follow him. But before we get to that, the gospel is God came as we celebrate at Christmas because he'd live, he'd teach, he'd love, he'd do miracles, and then though he'd go to the cross and definitively deal with sin. And he'd then tear the temple curtain himself all to be able to go out and so God could be near to his beloved humanity that he created once again. And so for all of us on this Christmas Eve, I pray we just appreciate that. Truly, in history, God came to the earth. He then came out of the temple. And now anyone from anywhere, through embracing Jesus and embracing Jesus alone, can have a relationship with their Creator. That's ultimately what Christmas is about. Amen? Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll sing and close out our service with our candlelighting. Let's pray.